The disciple John, in today's gospel, was upset when he saw someone not of Jesus' group doing exorcisms, casting out devils in the name of Jesus. John said, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Likewise, in that Old Testament reading from the book of Numbers, we hear Moses' assistant Joshua say to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Moses, my Lord, stop them." The Lord had given Moses 70 elders to help him minister to the people. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses, taking some of the spirit that was on Moses. The Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders, and as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. For some reason, Eldad and Medad were not present when the Holy Spirit came down upon them and the other 68 elders. However, they also received the same gift of the Spirit, and they prophesied. There are a lot of lessons here for us, and it's obvious that we're witnessing something that predicts the Pentecost, but is a Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon believers, upon the church after Jesus' resurrection, and upon believers even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came down. And perhaps the most important lesson is that the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit goes where he will. No one on earth commands the Holy Spirit. Nobody has them in their corner. And there are a lot of man-made rules on earth, but the Spirit is not affected or directed by any of them. Important lessons can be learned about the Holy Spirit from the responses of both Moses and several centuries later, Jesus. Moses responded to Joshua, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all." God loves all of us and wishes everyone to be with him. He wishes to come down to everybody. In fact, Jesus founded the church just so that we would all have access to the Holy Spirit. He sent the apostles to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blows through the entire church. That's God's plan. Moses' response about the Spirit many centuries before Jesus is itself a grand prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the world, on the church, at Pentecost, through the church and through the sacraments. Jesus' response to St. John, who would become an apostle and author of a gospel, was, "Do not prevent him. There's no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. And anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward." Many decades later, after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, we know that St. Paul would also be confronted by this same matter when Apollos was preaching nearby. A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, an eloquent speaker, arrived in Ephesus. He was an authority on the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and with ardent spirit spoke and taught accurately about Jesus. Although he knew only the baptism of John the Baptist, which was not the Christian baptism. Apollos was not a follower of St. Paul, nor a member of any of the apostolic churches, but the Holy Spirit sent him forth after an encounter with John the Baptist. And he learned about Jesus. And later he encountered the disciples of Paul, who had him baptized properly with a Christian baptism with the sacrament of the church. Christian baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And later Paul would recognize Apollos as a fellow preacher of Christ, saying, "What is Apollos? After all, and what is Paul? Ministers through whom you became believers, just as the Lord assigned each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who causes the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters are equal, and each will receive wages in proportion to his labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building." God builds up. God causes the growth. We do not. But the Holy Spirit does. There's a lesson of tolerance here. We do not control God or the Holy Spirit. A lot of people would like you to think they have this Holy Spirit in a corner, wrapped up all for themselves. The role of the church is obedience to Jesus Christ and is a witness to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All too often, we Roman Catholics have a tendency to get caught up in misguided intolerance regarding other churches, other faiths. Yes, Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church. That's true. However, the Eastern churches, we sometimes refer to them as Orthodox, are also apostolic churches. They can also claim that their church was founded by Jesus Christ. The Maronite Church, you know, the one over on 51st Street, is an older church than the Roman Catholic Church, older than the Church of Rome, because it's an apostolic church founded by the apostles in Palestine, beginning at Antioch in Syria. Their official language is Aramaic or Syriac. Their sacraments are valid, and their clergy is ordained and loyal to the Bishop of Rome, just like we are. And they can also say that their church was founded by Jesus Christ, because it was. And we are in the same church, just with different traditions. Protestant churches are recognized as churches. Believers in Jesus Christ and sacred scriptures. Vatican II was very clear on this when the bishops came together in the 1960s. Even though the Protestants lack the sacraments, they lack the Eucharist. They lack the priesthood. And we must be clear about our differences. We must be proud of those differences, but we need to recognize the Protestants as brothers in Christ. We must learn to grow in tolerance and grow beyond the judgments that tempt us, like Joshua and John when they saw others prophesying who were not of their group, and they resented it. The Holy Spirit moves where he will. We must learn to recognize the movements of the Holy Spirit. I want to make a quick comment on the final verses in today's gospel. They kind of stand apart. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And at the same time, your feet, your eye. Now we know that Semitic cultures, even today, often exaggerate to make a point. How often do you hear in the news in the Middle East that the U.S. is referred to as the great Satan? Well, they exaggerate, and it's part of their linguistic culture. There was a priest in Egypt, in North Africa, a famous theologian in the early 3rd century. His name was Origen of Alexandria. Origen had a great influence on the early church as a priest, a theologian. Origen is not recognized as a saint of the church, probably because of the way he heard this gospel of St. Mark and interpreted it. Origen is said to have actually cut something off. He castrated himself to follow the gospel, he thought, taking this gospel way too far. The church does not approve of self-mutilation. But we do understand just how serious sin is and how strongly Jesus felt about it. Jesus was saying things like, avoid whatever leads you to sin. If it's a friendship, cut it off. Be careful of who your friends are. You may have to cut off something you love that's not good for you. Do not sin. This is serious stuff.